yes to that question. If you can't, I hope you can change your mind tonight. What a wonderful thing it is, what a blessing it is to be able to say, I can praise my Savior all day long. And what a tragedy is, and a deep, sorrowful tragedy, not to be able to say that kind of a thing. And I think everyone should consider the deepness of being able to bless God and praise the Savior. And one of the reasons why that's so important is because when you can do that, that means that you have assurance, blessed assurance. And that's what that song was all about. And that's what God is all about. That's why Jesus came to this world, so that you can have the assurance of heaven in the afterwhile. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You see, we have great victory in our assurance. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 37 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory, assurance. The book of Proverbs in chapter 21 and verse 31 teaches us that the horse is prepared for the battle, but is the deliverance is from the Lord. Blessed assurance. We don't have to depend on the battle equipment and the guns and the cars and the trucks and in those days the horses and the chariots. They prepare all those things, but the deliverance is of the Lord. Psalm 44, verses 6 through 7. They don't trust in the bow. They don't trust in the sword. Those things can't save you from the devil and from the real enemies that we have in this world. But that psalmist says, you have saved us from our enemies. God has saved us. Jesus died to save us. Blessed assurance. And we need to hold on to that with every fiber in our bodies. And it's a sad, sad thing if you don't have that. Because I don't care who you are, I don't care how strong you are continence-wise, I don't care how mentally fit you are, there's always a shadow of a doubt when you aren't in Christ. There's always a shadow of a doubt. Blessed assurance. He saves us from our enemy, the devil. He saved Israel from their enemies. He saves us through Christ's blood. That's who saves us. Blessed assurance. Remember David and Goliath? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Remember what David said there? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. He's facing Goliath. Goliath is threatening. Goliath is going to destroy. And he said, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Blessed assurance. And he will give you into our hands. Speaking of Goliath. And Goliath, if you remember, lost that battle with a little ruddy boy named David. Blessed assurance. That's what we have. In my little tiny mind, it's insane not to hang on to that, not to hold that and take that and make it your own. Why would anybody spend a lifetime without that kind of assurance? You know, it just doesn't make sense. We live in a turbulent time, a time filled with all kinds of really nasty stuff. Our leaders of our nation are nasty. They're saying horrible, terrible things about each other. Casting out false accusations, no discernment between right and wrong, what's moral, what's immoral, no justice, no injustice. Boy, I'll tell you, it's a terrible time. Talking with a brother this morning about that. He says, this isn't the world that I grew up in. No, it's not. And the devil's got a good hold on a lot of people who do not have blessed assurance. You got men in women's restrooms, women in men's restrooms. You have a teacher that's being taken to court because he refuses to stand in a boy's locker room and watch a teenage girl undress? It's a sick society. But we have blessed assurance. We can be in this world, but not of the world. Assurance that we have refuge in the death of Jesus Christ, in His blood, that can never be taken away. This is the wisdom from above that causes the rest to be in the hearts of God's children. Rest to be in the hearts of God's children. You have blessed assurance tonight? I hope you do. And if you don't, you have to excuse my humble opinion, but it's pretty insane not to take hold of it. The Scriptures comfort us. They give us the formula for this victory. And of course, that's in Jesus. Think of the song we sang. He is our Savior. He owns me. He's my Savior. He owns me. He's my advocate with the Father. He owns me. I can take refuge in Him. And unlike the world, I have assurance and comfort, understanding that Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance. I hope you're thinking about these kinds of things. Having that knowledge, having that wonderful assurance, having the foretaste of glory divine. It's one of the greatest human attributes is foretaste. It can transform a woman into a mother, a man into a father. I have a son. His name's Tony. Some of you know him. Tony, he didn't want to have anything to do with kids. Nothing. I don't, forget it, Dad, we're not having kids. He wouldn't play with the grandkids that we would have. He wouldn't play with nieces and nephews. He wanted nothing to do with those kids, and then his wife became pregnant. He was transformed because now he can't let go of those kids. He changes diapers. Well, God can do that. Blessed assurance. I want you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 5 with me tonight. And after reading this, we're going to just point out a few things about this blessed assurance and how the gospel delivers all this to us. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. And how these truths, I would pray, could transform us by the renewing of our mind, prepare us for the glory that is to come, and prevent us from falling into damnation that is also to come. And perhaps many of God's children today walk in weakness because of failings in the church. Some congregation have failed to emphasize the gift of assurance that comes through Jesus. Some congregations, maybe they fail to stress the glory that awaits us in heaven. And it's possible also that some fail to edify one another, leaving empty places in the hearts and the souls of members. And because of only a few put on Christ every day. Some maybe only put Him on once, twice a week. And we fail to see those things. Fail to encourage. Fail to raise people up. But now by the power of the gospel, God-fearing children can understand that they have confidence. They have victory. Assuredly, it's already been won. The battle belongs to the Lord. So let's look at this. When we think of this, yes, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, and for scarcely a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we read that through and we think of that. Can you see words there that pop out to you and are important to you? Reconciliation, his blood, saved, God demonstrates his love, all those things. He died for us, all that. That should jump right off the page. This living word. And in the text, it's just amazing grace that has been delivered to unholy men, unholy nations, out of love unfathomable. This text here, it causes us to rejoice, to have great joy. And it contrasts between that which is saved and that which is not saved. In verse 10, he says, "For if we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in this." We were reconciled, and we should have rejoicing. Amazing grace and blessed assurance. Grace because his enemy is our enemy, and because Christ died for us. And Paul, he exalts the divine love of God, contrasting the rarity of it, and how few people in the world will actually accept that. That he would die, Jesus would die for his enemies while we were yet still in our sins. It's just mind-boggling. For when we were enemies. That's amazing. Blessed assurance. So scarcely for a righteous man, it says. We look at this term, for scarcely a righteous man, and we understand what a righteous man is. That's somebody that has great virtue, somebody who keeps the law and walks in the commandments of God. They're just in the eyes of God by observing these things. They don't break the speed limit. They do everything they can to walk righteously, but they're not Christ. Because we do fall short of the glory of God. Somebody that's anointed by God would be considered a righteous man. And he says, perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. You know, a good man comes from the Greek word agathos, and it really does simply mean good, somebody who's a supporter of what is good, somebody who gives to others. A good man is somebody that gives things to people who don't really deserve it, haven't worked for it. And he says some would even dare to die for such. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, you have a very familiar account. I think you all would know this. 1 Samuel chapter 24, Saul is out. He's just hurting all over the countryside for David. He wants to kill David, King or David. He's jealous of David. He wants to kill him. And in chapter 24 there in verse 3, Saul comes to a cave. He's got 3,000 men with him, and he comes to this cave, and he has to relieve himself. And he's in that cave, and David and his men are in that cave, and they're in the dark, and David reaches out. His men say, "Here's your chance. God's delivered him into your hands, and you can kill him now. Kill that king. He's been trying to kill you." And David said, "No." He took and he cut a little piece of the garment off. Remember that? And when Saul came out, David came out from behind him and said, "My men wanted me to kill you, but I would not lay a hand on God's anointed one, a righteous man." And David didn't kill him. He bowed down to him, called him Lord. He wouldn't kill him. But you know, Jesus is beyond being anointed by God like Saul was, or David, or Solomon, or any of us. He didn't die for somebody that was righteous. He didn't die for somebody who kept every letter of the law and never sinned and was perfectly upright. He didn't die for somebody who was good in that sense that Jesus received the benefit of something from them. He died for us while we were still yet in our sins. And because of that, we have blessed assurance. While we were still sinners. Yeah, we were his enemies. And Jesus died for us, shed his blood willingly, so that we could be reconciled to God. He did that. Blessed assurance we have. Look at verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Much more. Think of that. Much more, he says. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Much more. Much more. If Christ died for us while we were still sinners, how much more do you suppose he'll provide for us, for our needs, both physical and spiritual, for our salvation, now that we have obeyed him, now that we've become a part of his family? Do you know what he gives us? Blessed assurance. I don't have to worry about the day that I die, because I have blessed assurance. I don't worry about where I'm going when I die, because I have blessed assurance. And I think that's true for every faithful member in the church. Blessed assurance. This passage calls our attention to a resurrected life, one that will continue on into heaven because of the assurance of salvation. We are members of the family of God, the household of God, with all its rights and privileges, because we're reconciled. And we're now workers in the vineyard. And because we can look at our life, we can look at our soul, our soul in that the mirror of our soul, the Word of God, and we can see that we are doing what we can do. We have been given the power to overcome sin in our lives, to say no. Unlike some shameful congregations out there that say, no, you can sin all you want, and the blood of Jesus, he'll cleanse you of that sin as you sin. Of course, we know better. We have blessed assurance. We are reconciled. Imagine millions of spectators. We're in a stand at the Olympic Games, and how impressive that would be to be amongst all those people and being able to cheer on the players. But now imagine how much more exciting that would be if you were one of the players. Because that's what you are. You are God's children. You're not a spectator. If you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, you put on Christ and you're walking in the light as he is in the light, then you're not a spectator. You're a worker in the vineyard, and you have blessed assurance that when he goes there, he's coming back. And that when he went there, he did that to prepare a place for you. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're surrounded by a multitude of witnesses. And we need to avoid all the weights of this world and all the sins, all the things that will ensnare us. And we need to run the race with endurance. And that means to hold on to that assurance. Hold on to the Christ who bought us, paid for us, and is going to come back for us. Hold on to that blessed assurance. Looking unto Jesus, the Hebrew writer says, the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, you know what he did? For that joy, he endured the cross. What was the joy that was set before him? What blessed assurance did he have? It was because he knew he was going to go to the Father in heaven, and he knew the only way to get there was through the cross, through death. Blessed assurance. Jesus had it. He, despising the shame, it says, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And because he did that, he's made it possible for us to do that. There's your assurance. Blessed assurance. The fact is that God is for us. So much more. So much more it is to be not watching the race, but to be in the race. To say, I'm one of God's children. I've been adopted. I have a Father in heaven, and one day I'm going to go there. When Jesus comes back, he's going to take me up. And I know that's true. I know that's going to take place. And there's nothing in this world that can separate me from God. I have a blessed assurance from the Blessed One, Jesus Christ. Peter says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. We can do that because we know him. If you don't know Jesus, you can't do that. You have that little tiny, it could be the size of a pea. It could be the size of a little BB from a BB gun. You have some kind of doubt. I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you are. Prior to coming to Christ, I was absolutely convinced I didn't need Jesus. I was convinced there is no Jesus. I was convinced the church is a bunch of hypocrites. I want nothing to do with them until I read the book. And when I read the book, I found blessed assurance, and I knew I needed that. I'm not an idiot. I wasn't somebody that has, there's nothing between my ears. I had my strong opinions. Now I have blessed assurance. Because I said, you know what? You can't reconcile all this with what the world says. You can't reconcile 66 books written by 40 plus authors and it all harmonizes from cover to cover. You can't do that without God. You can't say to this body, body, you're a mistake. You were something that a drop of sludge in the water somewhere that turned into life. Really? You tend, just 5 minutes, you get on the internet and look up things like DNA and how it works and how complex it is and how they found out now there isn't one layer but two layers. Now they know there's three layers. And you're going to tell me there's no God, there's no intelligence behind us? Listen, we got blessed assurance because we're not dumb enough to believe the way of this world. Yes, the majority believe that. Yes, they teach that in the universities. Yes, people believe it, but it's not true. And you don't have to be one of them. You can have blessed assurance. I have a question for you. If you're not a member of the church and you think about scientific things, ask me one question. Where did water come from? And if you don't understand how deep that question is, ask some scientists, because they have no clue. They think it came from some asteroid out there that bounced off the earth and dropped a big chunk of ice here. Really? Where'd that water come from? It's insane to avoid blessed assurance for such silly things. The fact is that God is for us. He's for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 32, but delivered him up, Jesus, for us all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on that cross so we could have blessed assurance. And who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God is more than any man. And when you think about that, Jesus, he died on that cross. His work wasn't finished on the cross. He said, I went into heaven. And he now sits at the right hand of God, and now he makes intercession for us. That's blessed assurance, to know that the Son of God who overcame the devil and death is now making intercession for us. How shall we not with him also freely give all things? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Think about that. The crucifixion of Christ, it's the testimony. It should be all the testimony that anybody needs to know that he died and was resurrected. Knowing that he's on our side. Knowing that with him we have light to walk in this world. He is the Almighty. What power anywhere can overcome God? And if God is for us and who can be against us, then what power can anyone have to overcome us? We have blessed assurance. Paul reminds us that there is more God will do in addition to the sacrifice on Calvary. He didn't spare his own son. He delivered him up. And he will freely give us all things that we need. He provides everything we need, spiritually, physically. Blessed assurance. As a child of God, we can lean on all the promises of God. Blessed assurance. And by his providential care, he knows what's best. We can rest knowing that we have salvation in our souls, that the risen Jesus, the risen Christ, is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Another example, when we think about this, you're in God's hands. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 39, all that the Father gives me, Jesus said, will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. How much more assurance do you need? You've not been baptized into Christ? Do that tonight and find out. Test the waters. Have that faith. He won't cast you out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but do the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing. But it should raise it up in the last day. Blessed assurance. Where are we going in the last day? To heaven. You walk faithful in this life. You obey God. You repent of sin. You turn away from it. Yeah, blessed assurance. It's that simple. We're not perfect. I've never met anybody that's perfect except through the Word. We have blessed assurance because God is so great. You know, in Isaiah chapter 41 and in verse 10, Isaiah says, "Fear not, for I am with you." You hear that? "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Yes, I will help you. "I will uphold you with my righteous hand," he said. Blessed assurance. You can rest in those words. You can have peace in those words in times of trouble. This brother that we have that was mentioned on the prayer list, his brother is having this brain tumor and he's been downgraded. They don't expect that he's going to do very well. And his brother says, "I'm ready. I do not fear death. That's what he told me. I'm ready. I don't fear death. I have blessed assurance. I know where I'm going. And Isaiah says, do not be dismayed. I am your God, he says. I'll strengthen you, yes. I will help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous hand. Psalm 37 is one of my most favorite verses. I've used it many times in sermon. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down because he's upheld by the hands of God. Blessed assurance. We can walk through this life and we know that trials and tribulations will come. We know we'll have hardships, but we don't have to worry about being utterly cast down. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for thou art with me. Those hands are upholding me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Blessed assurance. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Blessed assurance. And if you're feeling good right now about those kinds of words, you should feel good. But if you're not part of God's family, you don't feel good about what I'm saying. And you need to change that. Why wouldn't you? David said he walked with God through the valley of the shadow of death, that God prepared a table for him, that he would take care of his enemies. And then he said, yea, I shall evermore be with the Lord. Think about that. As we looked at the scriptures, Jesus says, all he has given me, I should lose nothing. You want more assurance? The Father in heaven. His hand is on you. Think about that. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. He says, I give them eternal life. His hand is on you. They shall never perish. His hand is on you. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. His hand is on you. And the Father has given them to me, Jesus said, and greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. His hand is on you. You have blessed assurance. Wow. Our Father in heaven promises to those who are faithfully serving him, to protect them from attacks of the devil, to protect them from attacks of battering spirits that are made against us. Just hearing the words, eternal life, never perish, greater than all is God. No one. Not only Jesus, but the Father protects his children. No man can pluck them out of the powerful hands of God. His hands are on you, and you have blessed assurance. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39, you look at that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not height, nor depth, nor width. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, because he's that powerful. And the Lord promises that those who faithfully serve him will have protection against those kinds of assaults. Wow, blessed assurance to be in the Father's hand. And listen, we know, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus is still working in heaven. What does Jesus do in heaven? He ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Jesus didn't go up to heaven just to lay back and take a break. He's working on your behalf. He didn't forget you. If you're not a member of the church, he still wants you. You know, we think about the passages that talk about Jesus and our salvation and his continued effort to save our souls. Hebrews chapter 7, 25, he ever lives to make intercession for us. When you think about that with me for a second. Without a doubt, he's working. And it says ever, that's a continuous thing. He's not sitting in an easy chair. He's working to keep you safe. And he looks down, he sees what the saints need. He approaches the Father and he says, here I am, Lord. Father, this is what they need. He is our divine advocate. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things I write to you, that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins for the whole world. That's Jesus. Man, we have assurance of victory, blessed assurance. Think about that. He's our advocate, our parakletos. He's beside us in all the things that we need. He's pleading for us. He's our counselor. He's our defense, our legal assistant. He's our advocate. You can't be too thankful for that. You know the cost of attorneys today? Yeah. And how crooked they are? Some of them. Jesus. He always hears. He always knows when you have difficulty. And he's always willing to deliver you with his power and proof of assurance as one of God's elect. The third, he helps those who are tempted. He leads us out of temptation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. That was the way he said prayer. Pray to God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what Jesus taught his disciples, that they should have this way of praying. He leads us out of temptation. He will protect us during the times of temptation. Temptation, by the way, is common, isn't it? It's common to man. It's common to me. But I can tell you because of blessed assurance, and I can tell you because of the power of God's word, that I'm tempted a lot less than I used to be. And I'm not trying to be proud. I'm just telling you how great God is. Three promises when you think about 1 Corinthians 10:13. All the temptations that we face, we'll be able to endure them. And you'll never be tempted beyond what you're able to spiritually to handle. And God will provide a way out when it gets too tough. One more point, and the lesson is yours. He serves as our high priest in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us. He was the one that was holy, harmless, undefiled. He was separate from all sinners, Jesus. And he became higher, higher than the heavens. He's our high priest who is holy and seated at the right hand of God in the throne of majesty on high. And he's serving us. Man, what assurance. And because of that, we can have courage. Because of that, we can draw near to the throne of God with confidence and boldness. And we have full assurance of faith through the blood of Christ. Well, I'll tell you, blessed assurance. I can't think of anything more blessed myself than know something that Jesus said to the world. He said it to his disciples, but he's talking to you. In my Father's house, he says. He says in John chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Blessed assurance. And if you're not a member of the body, you don't have assurance. just that little seed of doubt. What a waste of life. It's a waste. There's a story about a family that was in a house and the house is on fire. The house is burning down, and the fire department come, the police department come, and they can see the people in the house, and they got the loudspeakers, and they're yelling out there, "Come on out of the house, the house is on fire, get out, get out." And the person opens the window and they go, "No, we're not leaving. We're going to fight the fire inside here." Well, the house burned down and they all died. But you know, some people are like that. Some people just refuse to be logical about things. You can come out of that house. You can work on the fire from outside in safety. But they would rather die trying to fight the fire inside. God wants you to come outside. He wants you to come out of the fire. He wants you to come out of the trials and the troubles. He wants you to come away having blessed assurance. Will you do that tonight? The Lord Jesus extended the invitation to come and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can do that tonight if you come forward and sit in one of these pews as we stand and sing the song of invitation.